Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by the one and only country legend, Mary Chapin Carpenter, who's coming to Wolf Trap. They'll be streaming a performance of her recorded at Wolf Trap on Friday the 27th. Hey, thanks so much for joining us.
It's nice to speak with you, Jason. Thank you.
I mean, let's start here. I mean, it's been a crazy year without, you know, artists really haven't been able to tour hardly at all. How did this thing come about to, you know, to do it at Wolf Trap, to stand on stage alone with no crowd and stream it everywhere?
Well, I think you've probably seen other artists doing live streams and creating concert content, if you will, and posting it. And so I had started doing like one song a week, posting it to social media. And now it's been almost 50 episodes of doing that since March, the idea of doing a full concert more than just, you know, one song at a time was pretty appealing. And Wolf Trap being sort of my hometown stage, if you will, they were absolutely fantastic when we reached out to them to see if it would be something that we could do there. And so it means a lot to me after all these years of playing Wolf Trap every summer, nearly every summer, to be on that stage. And doing it actually the weekend of Thanksgiving, it felt like a way to just kind of feel a little closer to everybody.
Yeah, I love the idea. Yeah, so it'll be that Friday, you know, everyone will be, you know, typically it's the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday shopping, but I don't know how much of that's going to happen this crazy year, but it'll be a nice way, yeah. You know, the holidays will be here. What are we going to hear? Is it going to be any holiday tunes or, you know, your greatest hits or a mix of both, or what do we got?
Well, writing the set list is probably the one of the hardest parts of it, just because, you know, I've got a few albums to pull from. And so I just decided to start from the first record and pull from that and then go all the way to the most recent record, which came out in August. So it's really everything from the first time I started recording to the most recent recording.
Awesome. And then, as you mentioned, you know, you have, you know, some DC, you know, roots and ties here. Remind our listeners how that happened. You know, I know you're born in New Jersey and lived in Japan briefly, but how did you, you know, what age were you when you moved to DC, and, you know, where in the city did you live?
I was 15 years old when my family arrived in DC. And I have lived, I've said this, I've lived all around the Beltway. or made my way around the Beltway over the years. And it's just been, you know, my home ever since I was a teenager. So it really is my hometown in that regard.
Awesome. Is it true that you did some open mic nights over in Cleveland Park?
Oh, yeah. There used to be a bar on Connecticut Avenue called Gallagher's Pub. And that was the first, I think it's now called Manny O'Brien's. But that was the first place I ever got a job playing music, and that was the first place I ever went to an open mic on Sunday nights, and it was really a great way to meet other musicians and to sort of work out the kinks of a song. And one night, I don't know, I just got brave, and I asked the owner if they would give me a job playing during the week, and she said yes, thankfully, to me. And so that was the first place I ever got a job playing music.
That's so cool. Yeah, our radio station's actually located right around that general area.
That's right.
Yep. Well, we just moved up to Friendship Heights like a year or two ago. But, yeah, it's all in the general same area.
Not too far away, yeah.
Yeah, see, your music's still echoing around there, I'm sure. well, fill the gap in for me then of how you know, you're playing open mic nights in Cleveland Park area. How then do you get Nashville's attention? Or, you know, did you move there? Or, you know, how did that whole record deal come about the first time?
Well, it's far too complicated, actually, for the time that we have to talk. But just very briefly, you know, I played a bunch of different bars and clubs for a couple of years. And then, you know, I was opening shows at the wonderful Birchmere in Alexandria. And long story short, somebody from Sony Music in Nashville was chatting with the owner of the Birchmere, and he mentioned my name, and the next thing I know, they were asking for a tape. And then after that, the next thing that happened was they gave me a record deal, and I was about as shocked as a person could be. So, and I had never been to Nashville. I didn't know Nashville, you know, if it hit me on the head. So, I mean, after all these years, it's country music takes many shapes and forms and personalities. And I've always, been grateful for the opportunities that I got, in sort of the commercial country music world. And that has just been the great gift of my life. I'm so glad I still get to play music, and I intend to when this is all over as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of us, myself included, we grew up on your music. I want to go into some of the big ones I remember, at least briefly. How did Down at the Twist and Shout come to you? Did you write that one?
I did, yes. I don't know if you recall, but there was at a time, there was in Bethesda, there was the Twist and Shout Club. And what it was the VFW hall that a local promoter would rent out on the weekends. And he would put local roots rock bands and, rock and roll and Cajun bands and people who were coming through D.C. He'd put them in there. And it was the kind of thing where you could go in and pay a couple of bucks and get your hand stamped like it was your high school cafeteria where you'd go for a dance or something. But you would open the Washington Post weekend section, and there would be a little, ad for the Twist and Shout Club. And I remember going to see the great seminal Cajun band, Beau Soleil, there one weekend. And that's where the song came from.
Wow. I have listened to it all these years. I had no idea it ties to Bethesda. That's wild.
Absolutely. Yep.
That made my day.
All right. Great.
Well, and then, so that was, I know that was your third album, and that, you were a household name at that point. That album, I think, is the one that really blew up. But then your fourth one, you just kept getting bigger. How did I Feel Lucky come about? What inspired that one?
Well, that was a song I co-wrote with my pal Don Schlitz, and we were just sitting around one day, hanging out and playing music and trying to write songs, seriously. And I don't know, that song is the one we came out with that day. And I mean, to this day, I can't believe that it has led me to so many different places. But it was just something we wrote for fun, and it ended up being, a commercial success.
I love it. All right, one more. Passionate Kisses. What inspired that one? That was, I mean, I feel like there were a lot of sort of those country songs that could have almost crossed over into pop that happened after that, but I think you kind of were, on the edge there with that.
Well, Jason, that song was written by the great Lucinda Williams, and I was on tour with her in Australia many years ago, and that record was one of my favorite records of hers, And she'd play that song every night, and every night I would play along with her and sing harmonies and tell her how much I loved the song. And one night, I think she just got tired of hearing it. She said, "Well, why don't you just record that song?" And so I said, "Okay, I will." And that's how it happened. And, I think genre, wise, it doesn't really matter if you think of country or now. I think nowadays Americana would probably be the most accurate way of describing her music and my own, and in terms of, what's out there now. But it doesn't really matter, what genre something springs from. If you connect to it, you connect to it. And to me, Passionate Kisses, when I play it on tour, for those 3.5 or so minutes that I get to, as I say, inhabit that song, it's just a powerful, powerful anthem. And I'm so grateful that Lucinda gave me her blessing to record it.
That's so great. Yeah, I mean, all three of those songs we just mentioned, you won Grammys for Best Female Country Vocal Performance. And then I think you won it again, a fourth year in a row for Shut Up and Kiss Me. So when you're sitting there at the Grammys on the fourth year in a row and they call your name again, just tell me, what runs through your mind? Are you like, man, I'm on a roll here?
I'll tell you. I mean, I think probably what ran through my mind was, are they serious? You know, I mean, it's just, it was truly, you know, an honor to receive those awards. But as you can imagine, I don't think anybody starts out playing music or pursuing their passion with an eye towards winning prizes or awards. It's something that just, you do it because you just feel like you have to. And to me, I'm honored and grateful that those awards came my way and allowed me, you know, the opportunities that it has. But in the end, it's really just about connecting with music and with people. And that's what keeps me going, at least for myself.
Awesome. For sure. Well, we can't wait to check out the event. Again, everyone, it's Friday, November 27th, day after Thanksgiving at 8 p.m. You can stream it online. I assume you just stream it online at the Wolf Trapps website?
You can go to, I believe you can buy a ticket at the Wolf Trap website, but you can also do that through my website too, MaryChapinCarpenter.com.
All right, cool. Well, we look forward to it.
Thank you, Jason. I hope you stay well and have a happy Thanksgiving.